And in our study of late, we've been looking at reminding ourselves about prayer, and we're to pray without ceasing. And so that we're seeking to remind ourselves that it's a relationship like the branch and the vine that stays fully connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we're to have a relationship, which is prayer. And you practice that relationship. And as you practice that relationship, you are praying. And if some people say, well, I never pray, then you have to rethink what you said and what prayer means to you. Prayer isn't getting up in front of somebody and saying it verbally. It could include that, of course. But it's a relationship that you should be having as we sit here, whether you ever say anything. It should be the relationship exercised now. And having said that and keeping that in mind, so that we're just, and we shared together, that's what we're doing. What's prayer meeting? Prayer meeting is God's people gathered together to be in the presence of God, before the Word of God, for the Word of God, to be found among us, in us, and about us, as a unifying truth. So that as we grow individually and collectively, we're united more and more in an understanding of God, an understanding of His Word, His ways, His work, what He does, how He does. And thus, here we are together. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And in doing that, all the other benefits are to be found. We don't even know all the benefits that come from that. But God tells us there it's a complete, wonderful outworking of God's will, of every person, every place, every problem in your life, in your society, in the light of the world, in the light of Israel. All of it, you're in the right place to be in tune, to be in touch. Therefore, if we can just ever grab that, then, over in Psalm 138, may I remind you again, and myself, verse 2, I will worship, this is David now, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For reason. For, why are you going to do that? Because, for the truth. Truth, thy word is truth. For the truth, thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. And God, you have gone and magnified to exalt, to it's causative, to cause something to happen. You have caused your word to be exalted above your name. Now, God, here we are in your presence, in the light of the God's invisible, awesome person. And here we are sitting here. And God, you are God. And we're seeking to be before you as a body to exercise truth, to understand truth. Now, how could we possibly have that without your word? If you didn't give us the Bible, what on earth would we do? We could all look at each other. Would we have any understanding of who and what and why? No. We would have to guess at things. He's creator. He's our creator and savior. We could do all those things, but we'd be very, 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 very limited. God, you have taken your word and given it. You have given your word. And you gave us the Genesis, etc., and Moses all the way to Deuteronomy, etc., etc., to where we are now, having thy whole word in the books of the Bible. Now, God, you gave us that. And you gave us that so that we can understand and look to you with thanksgiving. We can have an understanding. So, God, here we are in your presence, and you're going to take your word and help us by your word, as we understand your word and exercise it properly, we're going to what? Be able to honor you and relate to you and interact properly in our relationship with a measure of understanding, a measure of growing trust and familiarity, if I may say that, and intimacy that we can have simply because you make it possible by way of your word. So thy word, you've taken your word and given us so that we can, and you honor your word in order to magnify and exalt your name. How can we enjoy who you are? How can we possibly do that if we don't understand? And that's why you've given us your word, so that we can understand, and we can do so. So God, here we are, and there, and we share together last time or two, and we'll finish it up perhaps tonight, in the sense, what do we do with your word and prayer? Pray without ceasing. And what is history about? History, God, you give the word, it's your word, and you honor it, and your word honors you. Now, what's the little word that you use, have used, and help us? It's the little word, amen. Amen, amen. That's how you do it. Let's remind ourselves now, if you can. And with that little word, amen. That's how you do it. Now, therefore, putting a little bit to give us a little extra here, over to Psalm number one. Psalm number one. And picking up, if I can, in Psalm number one, and reminding you and myself, thanksgiving. Psalm number one. Here's David again. And may I pick up? It's the first, it's the lead psalm for all the psalms. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect man, and he is outworking, as you take Psalm 1 and the man, and outwork all of those wonderful truths in the psalms. Now, so therefore, in verse 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So what does the man do? What does the man, boy, girl, man of God, woman, what do? They know God's word. They abide. They have a relationship to God by way of his saving grace and his word, so that they're able to know the word, the work, the ways of God. So now, here we are, and in the ways, doth he meditate day and night on the word. So as we're doing, what is, amen, hang on. And verse 3, to tie that to, what do you mean you're going to spend time in the word? Because, why do I want to understand the word? Verse 3, the person shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that's it. You abide in my word, you're going to be like a tree. And the tree just, weather has nothing to do with it. Make it easier. If you're going to be like a tree. I am the vine and you are the branches. You're going to be like that. And it won't make any difference about anything, anyone, anywhere. You're going to just be mine. And I am going to go and produce. Hang on. So you're abiding, you're praying, and you're going to meditate. That's why we can't be stupid about his word. We have to learn it, and if we don't actually learn it, then it does us no good at all. Now, having said that, and without turning there for time's sake, think of Jeremiah 17, and cursed be the man that trusteth in man, but blessed be the heart that looks to God, or be like a tree. Same thing. Going to be like a tree planted by the rivers, the waters that never fail. So now, God, here we are looking at your word, and you want us one other place that's going to help us now. Remember the end of verse 3, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper, whatever you do. Like a tree, whatever you do, it'll be prosperous. Over to Joshua and chapter 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, picking up in thought, if I may, and in chapter 1, going to directly in the light of the context and all of it, in verse 7. Only be thou, be strong and of good courage, very courageous, that thou mayest observe. Why do we want to be strong and hang in there and do the right thing? Because that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Why? That thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest, that you may be very successful. That's why you're abiding. Meditate day and night. What am I? I'm learning to understand God, who I am. We are to serve. He's our Savior. He's our Creator. He's the God. And we want to understand how to operate properly. And therefore, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Now you can't ask, but God said, I told you. I told you how to do it. Stay abiding, stay trusting, stay looking to me. And that's what you're going to be, like a tree that never has a problem. In the midst of all the problems, it never fails. Therefore, thy word, abide, meditate, day and night. God, we're looking to your word to do a wonderful thing in us and for us and about us. So therefore, we're praying, looking to you, God, to do that which you do, and abiding like the branch and the Spirit of God. We share together all these things, the relationship, and our relationship to God. When you come to know the Lord as your Savior, instantly takes place. Let's pray without ceasing, abide. And the Spirit of God is going to go as soon as it becomes, and you get in the place to understand it a little bit. He says, Abba, Father, and you, present tense also, say Abba, Father. And so what are you saying? Father, Father, Father. And God says, Father. What is praying? What is the word prayer we're looking at? To speak out loudly to God. To speak out loudly to God. He says, we say. We respond to what he says. Thank you. Father, thank you. That's right. And then you take all the other places, you know, in Matthew 6 and that. Where God says that you have a heavenly Father, you aren't like the Gentiles, you aren't like the unsaved, you have a heavenly Father that knoweth all your need, and he takes care of what? All your need. Matthew 6, and in verse 30. Now, he goes and helps us in every way. So, in verse 32, heavenly Father knoweth all our need. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and we're going to add to that, as you know, I think of 2 Corinthians 6, you don't have to turn there, and God says what? He tells you to make sure you keep your relationship to me healthy, holy and happy, looking to God to make it. God says, Abba, Father. We agree, and we are in full tune. Amen. We say it. Abba, Father. And in doing so, when we do so, God said, when you come to the end of chapter 6, 2 Corinthians, I will be a father unto you. I will walk in them and live in them, and I will be a father to you. Abba, Father, I will be one to you. I will be one. A relationship, vine and the branch, that God were looking. So, exercising all of these wonderful things. So therefore, if you would, when you think of the word amen, in the New Testament, remember, it's used by our Lord 51 times, and 25 of those times in the Gospel of John are all double. All double. God, except for one time, you always say what? You always say what? Verily, verily. Amen, amen. Now, what are you saying, God, when you're saying that? And you say it without even blinking an eyeball. Now watch. So here's amen at the beginning. And when the little word at the beginning is used in the beginning of a sentence, it has to do with giving assurance, certainty, much assurance, affirmation, God saying something, and he means what he says and says what he means. He's affirming. He's telling you, this is it. I mean what I say. So be it. Or, and then when you put it, amen, at the end, you're saying, that's at the beginning of the sentence. Sometime you put it at the end of a sentence, and what are you saying? You're telling us and making it very clear that you are making confirmation, affirmation, without any doubt at all, to bind, the word to bind it together. And when you think of this word, amen, you want to think of the word support, support, to support something. Support it in a very special way. To hold it, to affirm it, to make it so that it's real. It's real. And thus we have the words bind and bound. Binding. The binding. God binds his word to himself. The word of God binds itself to God. When we get involved, what's happening? We're amening that what God is bound to. God means what he says and says what he means. So when we read all these things, God means them. I mean, how much does he mean them? He means them more than we can even come to grips with. He's bound to them. He's bound to what he says. And the word of God is going to honor him and exalt him. Therefore, the word of God is bound to God. God is bound to his word. So what are we doing? We're amening. We're amening. We got it, God. You mean what you say, and say what you mean. That's correct. It's the most awesome thing, God, to bind, to make it. Let it be so. So be it, front. Let it be so, end. Let it be. It's bound. God, you going to say it? Verily, verily. Amen, amen. It's bound. That's awesome. What do you have in all the things you know and read and think about and understand? We understand. You could say you understand mathematics, correct? I mean, simple mathematics. 2 plus 2 is 4. You're pretty safe, right? Do you really understand that? If you really put that to the test, we understand 2 plus 2 is 4. And boy, is there a lot more. And all we do is use 1, 2, 3, 4. But boy, it's much deeper, bigger, more than that. That's where quantum mechanics and all that comes in. out here. So what we understand, but we really don't understand. God does. He's bound to his word. And therefore, God, as we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts, over, if you would, please, to Deuteronomy, if you would, in the light of that, which is our word, the same Hebrew word goes over to the Greek word, amen. And here, as you know, of all the different places, it's the easiest one to see. And here's Deuteronomy. And if I can, God's verily, verily, most assuredly, he's bound. And I'm going to look, and you know it, but look at it again. Deuteronomy 27, and it's used 12 times in a row. 12 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12. Now, therefore, pick up the thought, please. And it's in the light of Israel is to be understanding that what God has in mind for them. Remember we said the tree and the benefits and the blessings and the bliss. That's all meant to be. Israel is going to forfeit it by their unbelief. But God wants it very clear that God meant every word of it when he said Israel was to be his special people, and they will be in the future. But they would be then, and they were for a little bit, but then they didn't do well. Now God, here we are looking, and God, you warned them of this certainty and surety of what you said, you mean it, and you said it. Therefore, when you read, because you're already ahead of me, chapter 27, I'm going to go and pick it up in verse 14, all the cursings are there. And I'm going to go to verse 14, and the Levites shall speak and say unto all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image or an abomination unto the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place. Get into idolatry. All the people shall answer and say, here they are, all lined up, remember, in the middle of Israel, Palestine in that day, Joshua chapter 8, when they did this. And what are they going to say at the end? And all the people, verse 15, shall answer and say, amen. And every one of these curses, it's amen. God said, I'm not telling you this for nothing. It's going to be. And it did. That's why Israel's where it is today. That's why Israel's out of the whack with God. It will get back, but it's going to take the tribulation to do so. So God, here we are looking at that wonderful, wonderful work. Now, over, if you would please, to catch the flavor of this, back over, if you, that's amen. Amen. Support. God is bound to what he said, and God is going to do what he said because he said it. That's what he's going to do. And so in the light of that, God's binding himself. And without any question, go over with me, please, in the light of that, over to 2 Corinthians in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 2. And in 2 Corinthians in chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, picking up that which you're familiar with again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, sliding, if I can, directly in the light of it all, verse 20, 2 and 20. Excuse me, 1 and 20. And you will notice, chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea or yes. All the promises of God are yes. That means that they are expressing God's assurance, his adherence to, his affirmation. When all the promises of God are yes, they are. They are affirmed, confirmed, no question. Not only are they yes in verse 20, and in him, amen. In Christ, they're amen. Amen. Hang on to that. All the promises of God. Now God, and you've made him. Are you bound to them? You're bound to thy word. Mm-hmm. And thy word is bound to you. And you, God, have given us all those promises. Why do we have them all? Because they're in the person of Jesus Christ. He didn't give three over here to Israel and four over here to somebody else. He does. He has those promises for Israel that don't belong to somebody else. But where are they all coming from? All those promises are coming from God. And where are you coming from? From God. All the promises of God out of the Lord Jesus Christ, out of your heart, are yes and amen. Look at finish verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God. And then you take the two words at the end and make them sort of stand out to you. By the believing heart. They're amen. Yes. Now, God, how are you going to show them? I'm going to show them in the God's people that are going to amen. God, what are you going to do? You bring all the life, you bring all the promises, all the covenants, everything, everywhere is all outworked itself in the lovely person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, you've received him as your Savior, if you have. And all of that is there. So the Davidic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, and all of them line up. They do. But they all come. They all are found in the one who saved you, who you received as your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is bound to his word, and his word is bound to God. And that's an amen. And so God, what are we? We're part of, hang on, over if you would please. Over to 1 John again. Regular John. John chapter 5, do that one. It's simple, easy, and refreshing. John in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, in verse 24. Here's our verily, verily, amen, amen. God is absolutely bound. And what is he saying? What are you saying, God? I say to you, he that heareth my word, which I am bound to, and my word is bound to me, and believeth on him that sent me, my Father, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Wow. That's God, you're bound to that. I said, I did. I didn't say that for nothing, he said. I mean it. So when you believe my word, I'm bound to it. When you believe my word, that's what I'm going to do. Like a tree planted. That's what I do. What I want to hear from you. We have all kinds of thoughts and feelings and desires, and off of them, and many of them are good and caring. And we want so much for ourselves. But all that you and I want for ourselves looks like nothing compared to what God wants for you. Do you understand that? All that you want for yourself is nothing compared to what God wants for you. And that's what you're going for. If you don't go for that, then you're playing nothing down here. it's nice. At church, you'd be, you can have a, everything, but you'll never have what God was after. And we just miss it. We didn't amen. We didn't amen. Now, while you're here, over to chapter 6. In that chapter 6, if I may, and going directly, you'll catch it quickly. Chapter 6 and verse 47. I'm just picking all kinds of places. I'm just trying to get you to think about it. Verse 47, chapter 6. Verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's what he has. Amen. But I didn't feel it. It had nothing to do with your feeling. That's what God said. He's bound to it. His word is bound to it. His person is bound to it. And that helps us. That helps us to line up with what God is doing. Because otherwise, we're up and down. The world is all around, up and down about everything and anything. And there's nothing stable, nothing sure, nothing bound, except the sun is going to shine. And the tree out in your yard, assuming it's a reasonable tree, is going to be there after you're long gone. That's bound. The tree's bound to be there. But you are not bound to be there. The tree is, but you aren't. Oh, God, I don't want to lock on. I'm not a tree, but I'm like a tree. You're like a tree. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that, oh, chapter 10, one more. All kinds of ways to do it, just to see it. John chapter 10, picking up, please, in verse 7. 10 and 7. Then said, remember, he's the shepherd. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. And once you go through the gate, what are you going to find? You're going to find the wonderful life of God. And he's bound to make that life happen. So the problem then for believers, for us all, isn't for God. It's our end. Our end. We aren't amening. We aren't in the place to let it happen. That isn't God's problem. He's amening it. I need to amen it. From my heart, I want to be bound to what God is bound to. I want to be bound to God and God's word bound to me. Isn't that what we want for our life in a most wonderful way? Now, God, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would. So, God, you're going to go and the word of God is going to support God and God is supporting his word in your hand. He's supporting that word. And God is bound to his word. God is bound to his people. And his people need to be bound to God. That's why they amen. That's why they grow and learn. That's what they want to learn. It isn't a little exercise to be able to get to the second grade. No, it's an exercise to be able to enjoy God more and more and more with some intelligence, with some understanding, with something. So you're not just a sort of not like Corinthians. We don't want to be like that. Let the ignorant, what? Be ignorant. If people don't want to know, leave them alone. That's what he said. If you really don't want to know, you don't have to. And you'll find somebody that does. That's what you do. Oh boy, well God, you don't care. Wrong. Wrong. It's so serious to God. It costs God his son to do this for you. And God's bound to it. And we thought this thing, it's like the someone giving us a promise or the doctor saying, I'm going to do the right thing. And he may try to do it, but he can't do it. And we live like that. Well, us humans make promises, don't we? We make promises and statements. But how many times we fail? We can't fulfill them. It isn't always intentionally. It just doesn't work. It doesn't mean you didn't care and didn't want to. Things just didn't work out for you to keep your promise. But that isn't true with God. So here we are looking, God, and you're going to go. Now, having said that, over, if you would, to Revelation, in the light of God's wonderful caring and keeping in all that he does. And in Revelation and chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, you would recall the Lord Jesus Christ, the revelation, the unveiling, the revealing, the unfolding of the wonderful person of God in Christ, his wonderful plan and purpose, Revelation. Therefore, sliding down to verse 6, Revelation 1, 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He made us to have a unique relationship. We're part of his body. I don't mind kings and all of that. No, all of that's nothing compared to being part of his body. He's the head and we're the body. Wow. Verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. Yea, and they also which pierced him, crucified him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Is it going to be like that? It is going to be like that. When he comes, the world is going to be, not on one hand, he's going to judge them with in judgment. On the other hand, they're going to realize, like Zechariah, the Jew is going to see we crucified the Messiah, and they're going to go back in the house as if they lost their only son. It'll be so sad, so hard for them to realize what they did and to realize their whole history missed out on what could have been. Wow, hang on. Now, over, if you would please, to verse 18. The Lord's going to say it again. Verse 18, chapter 1. I am he that liveth and was dead. I was crucified. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. God said, I'm bound to it. I'm bound. It's bound to me. I'm bound to it. Amen. It's going to be affirming certainty, absolute certainty. I am. Therefore, and have the keys of hell, Hades, and of death. I bring you in and I bring you out. Amen. Amen. Wow. Now, God, having said that, chapter 3. So we come to the last church in the church age, like in church history. We're at the end of church history right now, before the tribulation, and the last characteristic of the church before the Lord comes is Laodicean. They have no need for God. Look down in verse 15, 3 and 15. I know thy work, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Why? Because, 17, thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need nothing. We don't need you, God. You're wonderful. We'll call you if we need you. And knoweth not your real condition, the diagnosis, that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Wow. Now, who said that? Over to chapter 3, verse 14. Our Lord, the angel, the messenger of the church of Laodiceans, write what are you saying, Lord? These things saith the Amen. What I just told you about hot and cold and lukewarm. Who said that? The Amen did. It's bound. I'm bound to make it happen. It will happen. It will be. Amen. Cursed be everyone that does not keep the law and tries to work it out without me. Amen. Amen. God says, Amen. Amen. Go on, you want to say it? That's right. In verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eyesalve, that thou mayest see. God, that's awesome that you're going to do all of these wonderful things, God. You're going to do them. Now, having done that and looked at that in such a little abbreviated way, but hopefully you'd have a little better idea of what we're supposed to be doing. We're looking to, that's what we have to do up here. We try to mumble something to you and try to make it make sense to you. But that's what the job is. It isn't just to give you a little something. It's to give you truth as much as possible in our little human frailty to do it. So what? So we can say amen. So that we can agree with God and move with God and go forward with God as a body and as individuals. That's because the God in your heart has amened all that he has said, his ways, his word, his work. Amen. Where in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the amen in your heart? He is God's amen. He's God's so be it. He's God's so let it be done. Amen. Amen. Wow. Now, so therefore, in closing, if you would, and appreciate your patience, we want to be able to look to God. Remember the word amen, to support, to support, to affirm, to make certain, to firm up. Wow. Over to Revelation again, and chapter the end, if I can, in verse 22. I mean, yeah. If you find verse 22, let me know. Chapter 22, and in verse 20. The Lord Jesus, the Amen. He which testifieth these things, remember Revelation 1:1, he's the Amen. And here in verse 20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come, I'm coming, quickly. Then what? Amen. So be it. Let it be so. Are you coming quickly? No, we don't know. God, that's how God says. God says, I'm coming quickly, and he amends it. He's going to do it. No, you don't know. He never does it. He never does it, but he will. Because God has amended it. It's proven. It's affirmed. It's confirmed. He's going to do it. And it isn't even done. Verse 20. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, what are we doing? That's why we're reading it. That's what we're doing. What are we reading? And we're saying what? He said, I'm coming quickly. And what are we going to say? Come quickly. And then you go, verse 21, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all so that you can say amen. And how are you going to end? Amen. God means what he says. He says what he means. He's absolutely going to do it. And that's so what we're doing. So we got God's word, and we got God, and here we are, and we have an awesome, wonderful thing with God. Wow. It's an amen. So when you think of God, it's amen. God, are you going to be who you are? I am. You're going to say what you said, what you said. That's why we get the Bible. So we know it. Amen. But no, we don't. How do you know that's true in Numbers chapter 10, etc.? And yeah, that's a, so, well, no, no. No, it isn't a question of that. From the Spirit of God, and I don't want to get into that now. We got the idea. Amen.